In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
You're the wonder to my soul. Just the voices, lift your hands. You're the wonder to my soul. Lift your hands. Jesus, you're the wonder to my soul. Sing it from your heart. Wonder working wonder. Your name is Jesus, wonder to my soul. Say one more time, and you're a wonder working, Jesus. You're a Now open your mouth in the next 3 minutes and worship him the best way you know how to. Worship him the best way you know how to.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you are. You're a wonder-working wonder, Jesus. You're the wonder to my soul.
Worship him the best way you know how to.
You're the one walking on earth. You are Jesus. You're the one to my soul. For you
forever.
Lift that song in worship to Him. Say you. Just get carried away by the music. Open your mouth and thank Him for His goodness. If He's been good to you, open your mouth and give Him praise. Open your mouth in the next 2 minutes and thank Him for His mercies that are new every morning. If it were not for His goodness, you would not be standing there. If it was not for His mercies endures forever. Even when men gave up on you, His mercy found you. Open your mouth and just bless Him. Bless Him in the spirit if you can. Bless Him in your own words.
My cross you bore, so I will live in your goodness forevermore. your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. What is your name?
Jesus.
You deserve the praise. What is your name?
Just pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and speak in other tongues right now. As we fill this place with His worship. Alateke le mohosita.
Father, we thank you tonight. You are worthy. You are worthy and deserving of our praise. We bless you in the congregation of the saints. We thank you for your mighty hand upon us. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you because every day we know that you are a God that cannot be replaced. You were not voted in and you can never be voted out. Thank God that there is no one greater than God. And we bless you tonight. Thank you for the gift of your presence always with us. Thank you for your great love with which you love us. And thank you for an experience tonight in your presence. As though God is standing before you, sing it to him. My you deserve and sing.
You deserve.
Yes, you do.
Hey!
is my worship. I give you all of my world. Let him receive your worship. All of your worship.
Sing it to him. Say,
this is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship.
Wave your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just say thank you, Jesus? Is that the best that you can? Say thank you, Jesus. Now clap your hands for the King of Kings. Are you excited to be here? Welcome to Pneumatech. Please shake the hands of two or three people beside you and welcome them to the presence of the Lord. For in his presence is the fullness of joy. Be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
How many of you enjoyed Pneumatech of last week? You know, I came in, and by the way, I apologize for coming late. The message today really stretched me. I had a lot to finish preparing for. But I want you to know that these gatherings, for every time we gather, the devil concedes defeat. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear me. I said every time we gather, the devil concedes defeat, because the work that God is doing here is spiritual, is mental, is emotional, is physical, is holistic. So the devil is losing on every front. For every soul that is saved, that is transformed, I hope you know the kingdom of darkness has lost. And I thank God that, you know, I think it is important that every territory should have apostolic centers like this, where believers can gather, regardless of denomination, regardless of tribe, under one belief in the name of Jesus, and receive the word and the spirit of God that is able to transform them, so that they can become exactly what God has programmed for the believers within that territory. You get what I'm saying? And that's why I'm happy every time we gather here, because something is happening in your life, whether you know it or not. The change may be gradual, but it is constant and it is permanent. The Bible says what the Lord does abides forever. Ecclesiastes 3:14. It says nothing can be taken from it, nothing can be added to it. God does it so that men will fear him. I pray that in this season, everything that God is doing in your life will not only be established, but it will be perpetual. It will be continuous and eternal. In the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you enjoyed the teaching of last week? Trust. Some of you who missed last Sunday, go and listen to it again. Oh. Don't assume that you are with us. You are not with us. We have passed you. Amen. Yeah. So my brothers from the prayer department, I say we have passed you, is the truth. Go and listen to the one of last week. Amen. God is taking you through a process. God is taking you through a process.
And at the end of that process, the fruit of his work in your life will manifest and be made known to all. In the name of Jesus. There's a song we used to sing those days. The normal Dosa Lafa progression. God is doing something good in my life. God is doing something great in my life. He won't stop. He won't stop till I look just like him. You know it. He won't stop. He won't stop till I look. We're saying God is doing a great thing. God is doing something great in my life. If you believe it, sing it to me tonight. God is doing something great in my life. He won't stop. He won't stop. He won't stop till we lose. He won't stop.
He won't stop.
Even when it's painful,
he won't stop till I lose just like him.
Listen, you might cry, you might weep, but till you look just like him, you might be angry. You may not even have money, but till you look, he won't stop,
he won't stop, he won't stop, till I look just like him.
He won't stop,
he won't stop,
yeah, yeah,
he won't stop, till I look.
Now you will sing it to God.
Like
this is what you say, please don't stop, please don't stop. Till I look just like you. Please don't stop. Please don't stop.
Please don't stop.
Whatever God is doing in your life.
Please don't stop.
Please don't stop.
Please don't stop. Till I look just like you.
Please don't stop. May God not stop what he's doing in your life. Yeah. For many of us, he's circumcising our heart, cutting out those things that have become an idol, taking away all forms of attachment. The process that God takes a man through may not always be pleasant. May not always be pleasurable. There are things God will have to rip off your heart, off your life, to preserve your destiny. As good as they are. And that's why I like the writer of that song. So you sing it in your own private time. Anytime you feel like you are going through a process and it's becoming heavy for you. Some of you, God may be teaching you about forgiveness. And you know, God teaches with experience. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins? 7 times. That statement was self-righteousness that was talking. After 7 times, if there's a demon in him, a slap can take it out. And you know, Jesus always discerned the hearts of his people. He says 70 times 7. In other words, don't even more than forgive him. Prepare forgiveness. Forbear. So when God is teaching you about forgiveness, people will offend you, insult you, abuse you, even the ones that you senior. And the Holy Spirit will keep telling you, forgive, forgive, forgive. And it can be painful. Amen? But please don't stop till I look. If God should pity you now and stop the dealings, you'll be sacrificing a glorious destiny tomorrow.
Are you hearing me? When God is teaching you how to walk by faith, get ready to suffer hunger that period. Huh? When God is teaching you how to trust Him for your needs, you'll pick your phone to call your uncle. God will say no. And God knows how to say no in many ways. He can either literally say no to you and you hear Him, or He can make you feel that He's saying no. As soon as you pick your phone to make that call, everything in you is against that call. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes God can even, you can even have the money to get certain things for yourself. But because God wants to deal with something else in your life, it will stop you from affording that thing. Amen. When you see the dealings of God in your life, know that there's something great about your future that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And as much as God loves you, which one do you prefer? A glorious tomorrow or temporal pleasures of today? The only problem that God had with Esau, you know, the Bible says, Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. And they were not born when God said that thing. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 9. That why will God hate somebody who has not even been born? He has not done anything. And I told them at Abuja Glory Summit, I said, God saw before they were born that by their choices, Esau was going to deviate from the path of God. In fact, the Bible described Esau as a fornicator. You think he slept with somebody's wife, or he slept with somebody who is not his wife? No. He simply exchanged his birthright for a morsel of bread. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Every time the dealings of God is heavy for you, he would want you to take a shortcut. Relieve yourself. Some of you who used to have boyfriends, rich sugar daddies and boyfriends when you were in the world, and now that you came into the kingdom, God is teaching you how to trust Him alone. You know, that time there was a cash flow, money was flowing. But now God is doing something good. And that something good means that hunger day. Now you have to carry a hair for more than 1 month. That time, they will just ask you, which hair do you want? You mention it and he buys three. And then one day the devil will tell you, pick up your phone. It's still a call away. In fact, the person can even call you. I just wanted to check on you. Do you lack anything? Do you need anything at all? I still have your account number. And the Holy Ghost will say, don't collect. And the devil will say, what is wrong in calling? You didn't call him. Be careful. Know how to discern the voice of the devil. Sometimes he can even sound more righteous than God. You didn't call him. He called you. There's nothing wrong in accepting the gift. The devil will even quote a scripture to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is it verse 4 or verse 6? He said there's no harm in it as long as it is sanctified, if it is received with thanksgiving. He will quote that scripture for you. He quoted for Jesus. He said, for he will give his angels charge over the oya. Oga, show yourself, jump, may they see you. Be careful to note the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil is always emotional. Always. It will want to blackmail God, make God look like a callous and a wicked God. And he will now want to appear as the good one. But you have the choice. The Bible spoke of Moses, and the Bible says that even though he was Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to be regarded as Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather to suffer with the affliction with the children of Israel than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. I'm talking to people that God wants to mature. This is a season of maturity. You have to pay attention to what God is doing now, because if you pass this class and you don't pass it well, the exams will come and haunt you. You see, let me tell you something. Every temptation that will come in advance, God has already prepared you for it. But if you play with the preparation process, when it comes, you may fall. And there is a test in the spirit realm to authenticate every level that you have passed, to show that you have matured past a level.
there is a test, and God will allow the devil to come test you to authenticate whether you have been mature. You say, no, I don't like money. No problem. A sugar daddy is on the way. When they offer you 10 million and your family, nobody has ever seen 1 million before. Alando Romokosi. Ahead of one of our great icons in the music ministry, Frank Edwards, he shared his testimony one time that years ago he was called by a company in South Africa and they were offering him some big money, some big endorsements, contracts, many things. They say, just remove Jesus and put God from your song. It's the same thing now. Jesus and God, is it not the same thing? Just remove them. We want your song to go around the world, so just remove Jesus and put God. And what they were offering him that time was big. But he said no. I don't know who God is talking to. Learn to say no this season. The devil will say, eat it. God is faithful and just to forgive you. Truly, God will forgive you, but you have lost his trust. It's not only human beings that have trust issues, God too. God will forgive you, but that big destiny, he can't give you again because he can't trust you. Even if he wants to trust you, what will he tell angels? What will he tell the elders in heaven? Don't you read the Bible when the Bible talks about the council of heaven? Even though God is sovereign, there are decisions he makes consulting those people in heaven. So God will look at Job in heaven now, who went through his own test and did not break. And you, after you have betrayed God three times and over, God will look at Job and still say, let's still allow him to carry that mandate. And Job is there. See, if you treasure relationship with God, there are sins you shouldn't even try. Don't even try it. Forgiveness is there, but you would have lost that big thing God wanted to use you for. He will use somebody else. That's why I check the body of Christ. There are some voices you no longer hear again. They are alive. They even have money. They have buildings. But the impact is gone. God too can have trust issues. So be careful. You receive that word, say amen. May God give us the grace to stand. In the name of Jesus Christ. So let's get to the word today. Emotional healing. I told us last week that's what we'll talk about. And I believe that we are ready. If you can, hold the hand of one person beside you. And let's pray and ask the Lord to do something to our hearts by the word that he would release tonight. Open your mouth and pray. Just hold the hand of your neighbor. Open your mouth and talk to God.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer of life, you are the one, rescue the souls of men. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? souls of men.
Counselor,
Comforter, King.
Spirit we long to embrace.
Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts are hopelessly lost. Oh, hopelessly lost.
Emotional healing, the healing of the heart. Right in bracket, the healing of the heart. I did more of praying than studying for this teaching. Because only God can heal the heart of people. Even me, I'm conscious that no matter what I say, is between God and the heart of that person. And my prayer is that long standing and old wounds will be exposed today and will be healed. Many of you don't know that sometimes the distance between you and your breakthrough, your next level, might be grievances, pains, or scars in your heart. Just like we'll see from the word of God. And if God is bringing this teaching tonight, it's not only to address us as the body of Christ, but it's to functionally bring healing. Of course, you know what's happening now. Instead of us to focus on God's end time agenda, the salvation of souls and revival over territories and many things, right now social media has become a platform for Christians to come against each other. And because of these and many more, a lot of people have been hurt in the body. And I think God is in a business of healing this season. So please, I beg you, open your heart and receive this word as the word from God. Don't debate it. Don't try to, you know, when God is speaking to the heart of people, I say it by experience. Sometimes when the truth is coming, you self-righteousness will want to make you dodge. I'm not like this. Just open your heart and receive. Amen? The Bible says we should receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save even our souls. I want you to note this before we go into the message. When it comes to emotional healing, the procedure is simple, but the recovery process takes time. Let me say it again. The procedure is simple, but the process takes time. The process takes time. In 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, this is God's desire for our emotions. Of course, your emotions are a part of your soul. Man, especially the new man in Christ, is spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is the organ for interaction and for expression. Your soul is the part of you that connects the spirit, which is from God, and your body, which is flesh. The soul is made up of the mind, the emotions, and the will. Your mind has two components. There is a side of your mind that reasons in words, and there is another side that analyzes in pictures. It's called your imagination. Your reasoning and your imagination. It is in your mind that you think. Thoughts are in your mind. It is in your mind that you process things, that you analyze things. Understanding comes to the mind first. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word understanding there is the word mind. Your emotions is the center and the seat for feelings. Because one of the ways by which you interact with your environment and with yourself is by feeling. For you to know something, for you to interact with something, there is a part of your interaction with that thing that has to do with feeling. You have to feel it. And that's what your emotions are responsible for. Feelings. And it is that place we want to direct emotional healing to. The Bible says in 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, this is God's desires for your emotion. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul. So God wants your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion to prosper and to be in good health. God wants you to feel good all the time. Yes, he's so concerned about the state of your emotions. Not really because it affects him, but because it affects you. John chapter 14 verse 1. Emotional healing, the healing of the heart. Verse 1 and then verse 27. It says, "Let not your heart be what? Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." All of this is for that your heart. That place where your emotion is. Or your emotions are. Now of course we are referring to two aspects, okay? I don't have time to start this, it will take our time. Talk about what the heart is, if the heart is different from the soul. I don't have time for that. So I'm just going to jumble up that is a whole teaching of its own. Alright? But I know you trust me as a teaching priest. So I will just jumble up those things and let's get to the main thing. Is that true? It says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." What is peace in the concept of the world? When there is no problem, everything is going the way it should be. And as good as that is, life will be boring if everything is fine and continuing like that. Because the only way you can appreciate good is when there is bad and evil. Alright? Sometimes the only way you can be prompted or be in haste is when there is crisis around you. If there were no crisis around you, you would just remain the way you are. So the world's concept of peace is when there is no trouble again around your life. When God has destroyed all your enemies from Uber, giving you a job, giving you a husband, giving you children, just everything you need, and there is no problem again. That is the world's concept for peace. But Jesus said, "That's not how I give you peace. Not as the world gives." Let's finish the scripture. "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, in God's equation of peace, you have a role to play to live in peace. He says, "Let not your heart." Let means permit. That means you decide to live in peace or to live in chaos. You decide what has the ability to trouble your heart. That's why I say, "Let not your heart." He said it two times in that scripture. If Jesus repeats something again and again, it's for emphasis. "Let not your heart." So the problem with your emotions, with your heart, is not because of what the person did. It's because you chose to allow what they did trouble you. Oh, I'm so sorry, but that's the truth. "Let not your heart If you want to follow the world's method of peace, I don't know what day you will live that. Is there any day on this planet Earth where there is no trouble anywhere? The only time you will experience that is when we are in heaven. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. We are living in a broken world, a fallen world. The systems of this world is falling, is disengaged from the life of God. Trouble is now part of the world system. The earth itself does not have concrete foundation. I mean, this whole planet Earth is hanging in space. So it doesn't even have concrete or solid foundation. That tells you that everything in this world is not going to operate at a stable pace. The only thing that can be guaranteed stability is your salvation. And that's because it is rooted in your heart. And because it is in your heart, God gave you the freedom of choice to not allow anything happening in your world to trouble you. Jesus, who not a disciple, said, let not your heart. Forget about what they do. Forget about what your lecturer said to you. Forget about what your friend did. Yes, all of those things are meant to bring about chaos, bring about emotional hurt, and any other thing that will disturb your peace. But Jesus said, just before you lose your peace, remember that is within your power to allow your heart to be troubled. Anything that bothers you is because you allowed it to bother you. Anything that bothers you is because you focus on it. And I want you to believe this message tonight. You choose to be bothered with what CNN is broadcasting or BBC. By the time you focus on business news and they show you how the naira is falling and rising like somebody who has not eaten for 3 days, when you focus on that, you definitely know that your heart will be troubled. When you decide to focus on what's happening in social media, when you decide to focus on what people are saying about you, how do you even know what people are saying about you? Because you cared about what they said. You gave your ear. Something in your heart is looking for, it looks like you are not conscious. You don't have a definition of your identity. It looks like that. You are suffering from identity crisis. So you are looking for endorsement from what people say and allowing what they say to determine who you are. Otherwise, if you know who you are, you will care less of what people say. Because what they say is their opinion. Are you here tonight? Many of you, if you can live in the consciousness, if you rediscover your identity in Christ Jesus, and you live from that consciousness, even if the people are standing around you and talking, listen, let me tell you something. These ears are windows. Huh? This ear does not bring understanding. It only hears. It is your mind that processes what you hear and gives you understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? After all, the Bible says, when men say, you heard them say that there's trouble, there is a casting down. But you, because you have a superior understanding, that you are more conscious of more than what people are saying. It's not like you don't hear what they are saying, but you ignore what they are saying because you know something higher. You shall say there is a what? And this is a major issue, especially with ladies tonight. Many of the people that suffer from emotional trauma, a larger percentage are ladies. And if you check very well, it's because contextually in our society, many people, maybe because of many of us didn't, our background is not as solid as it should. Our training, our upbringing did not capture certain fundamentals of life. For instance, nobody taught you to believe in yourself. Nobody taught you that it is what you think about yourself that determines who you are. Many of us, our upbringing, help this young man, please. Our upbringing isolated that thing. Listen to me. Our upbringing isolated these things. Some of us, they gave you milk, they gave you naan, they gave you this one, they gave you that one, but nobody taught you that your life is framed by your thoughts. And if you don't have a correct image of who you are, you will definitely live according to what people prescribe for you. Are you listening to me at all? And many of us were not taught like that. We didn't grow like that. And so, you know, that thing, that the reason why many people care about what they say about them is because there's a part of you that is still trying to find redefinition of who you are. So you feel that you can get some endorsement by what people say about you. If you live your life like that, you will have a dysfunctional image of yourself. You will have a dysfunctional identity. Because people, what they say is based on their opinion, and it changes. Somebody can say you are a madman just because he's angry. Dash that person ₦100,000 or $50. They will say, oh, you are God sent. And now we want to live according to people's opinion. My prayer is that God will help bring you to my realm. Because I think I've come to that point where even gossipers, even critics, they know. I'm sure that's why they have stopped talking. I used to tell our people that my son name means let them talk. And one of the greatest revelations I received in this life was the meaning of that son name. If you carry a name that says let them talk, are you going to stop them from talking? Let them talk. When Jesus comes, they will not be able to talk again. So allow them to keep talking now till Jesus comes. And if I care about what people are saying now, that I'm not anything, when I become something. So when I decide that whether I am something or nothing, whatever they say is their opinion and they are entitled to it, you'll discover that nothing changes about me. And that's what it means to be a mature believer, when you are the same in every circumstance. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. That's only when you can claim that you are mature. If you like, see visions from now till next week. If one rumor that flies about you keeps you in your house locked up for 2 days, you have gifts, but you are not matured. You don't have depth. And it will be good for you that God does not start using you that time, so that God can deal with that. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Isaiah 26 verse 3. This is God's desire and God's promise, or God's promises for our emotions. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And you shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Sorry, I quoted it. I'm sure when their machines are working, they will put it on the screen. And you shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So when you join this scripture and John chapter 14, God is showing you a simple way to live in peace. Number one, you have a role to play by deciding what you focus on. Number two, that you, with that power of choice, keep your heart focused on him, for he shall keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. So any other thing you put your mind on can erode your peace. But when you put it on Jesus, who is our peace, then your heart will not be troubled. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Let me give you an example of an unfortunate example of a wounded heart, a broken soul. This is the kind of person that needs emotional healing. Psalms 42 verse 5 to 6. Can you give me my tablet? Just in case. We have issues with the computer. Is it the computer you have issues with? Eh? So God can talk to somebody now to give us a computer. Give us your computer or buy a new computer and give us. And if you think that God shouldn't talk like that, something's wrong with you. Amen. Before the end of this service, God must talk to somebody to give us a new computer. In Jesus' name. I mean it, I'm not joking. And I know God is already talking to at least 3 or 4. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. It's just computer. It's laptop. Amen. Some of you carry the things. You see, that's another problem. We hold on too much to material things. Let me keep quiet. Let's leave. Let's face the scripture. Psalms 42. Another way to live in peace is don't hold on to material things, so because they can be destroyed, they can break, they can disappear, they can steal them. Somebody, when you tell the person that God is not happy with you, they say, oh, Father, have mercy on me. But the moment they stole their iPhone 11, oh, that would take 1 week of pain. They can even wake up in the night and naked themselves and pray and swear the person. Swear on the person. May God help our hearts not to be attached to material things. I remember years ago, I used to have one BlackBerry like that. They call it Z10. I think that was one of the latest versions of BlackBerry. The Android BlackBerry. Yes. Ah! Wonderful phone. We're having a retreat one time and I was to go somewhere to do something and then come back and preach in the retreat. On my way, I left it in the keke. When I landed, keke zoomed off. When I got there, I realized my phone had gone. You know what I did? I went and preached though. We finished program first. Then I sat there, wait, my phone don't go. And everything that I wanted to was in that phone. Went back to the packs. Nobody was with it. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I continued. Amen. There's a wisdom on how to live in this world. iPhone 11, loss. And then you stay for 1 week. That means if iPhone 16 Pro, how much is it? 1 point, how much? You could just die with that now. An unfortunate example of a wounded heart or a broken soul. Psalm 42 verse 5 to 6. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Just keep the scripture. That is an example of a heart that is wounded. Of a soul that is broken. He said, why are you cast down? You know, there's an English word, they call it downcast. Have you seen those kind of people before? They can barely even look up. Out of frustration, out of pain, out of sorrow. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6. He said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. So in the face of prevailing situations that have made you downcasted, that have brought emotional trauma, that is breaking your soul, the Bible says that's when you should remember his faithfulness before. Start to rehearse the good times with God, because you will need it to insulate you in that period. You know what Job told his wife? Job said, if we have received good from God, shouldn't we receive evil also? That doesn't mean that God gives evil to people, no. But Job was simply saying, this is the variety of life. There are good times and there are bad times. And it's something that we have to accept. As far as life on earth is concerned, you will never come to that point where every day you just wake up. That's a Cinderella story. It doesn't exist. Even the people that did the film, they know that it doesn't exist. In fact, some of them that did that film suffered from depression more than many people. There is no life on earth that is absent of trouble, except the one that is dead and in the grave. So let not your heart be troubled. Verse 9 to 11. Same Psalms 42. Verse 9 to 11. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a breaking of my bones. You see, it's mourning. He's in a state of mourning because of certain things happening around him. To the fact that it's even affecting his physical health. His bones. Is that not what they call cancer of the bone? I will show you another scripture, don't worry. He said, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Any soul that is downcasted today, may God lift you up. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 61 verse 1 to 2. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. Why is he crying so much till God hears him? He said, when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. Have you been there before? Have you been overwhelmed with troubles around you? Problems. Lack. Disappointments. Have there been situations around you that made you overwhelmed? Have you ever felt overwhelmed, swallowed up before? How many of you have felt like that? You feel like you are about to choke. It's as if everything is against you. You say, when my heart is overwhelmed, what will I do? I will cry to you so that you will lead me to the rock that is higher. He didn't say that you will solve the problem. He didn't say you will wipe my tears. He said you will lead me to the rock. That means you will elevate me. So sometimes when you go through overwhelming seasons in your life, all that God may simply do is just lift you up in the spirit to a realm where he lives, a realm that is of joy and peace, and then show you that even with those things around you, nothing changes what he's doing about your life and about your destiny. Somebody say amen to that. He said, lead me to the rock. He didn't say, clean my tears. He didn't say, solve the problem. Don't wait for the problem to be solved for you to have peace. He said, lead me to the rock. That rock is symbolic of the word of God. Jesus said, any man that hears my saying and do them, I will liken him to a man that built his house on where? The rock. He said, and the rains came and beat on the house, and the storm blew, and winds blew on the house, but it did not fall because it was built on the... So if God is saying, if Sam is saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than, he's simply saying, God will use revelations from his word to reassure you that these things will come to pass. So even in the midst of those things, you are more than a conqueror. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Causes of emotional wounds. Causes of emotional wounds. The media people will help us with some slides. Causes of emotional wounds. Are you set? I tried to list as many as I could to be able to capture it on every front. Emotional wounds, of course, are wounds of the heart. I don't even need to explain much. We all know. Number one, abuse or abusive relationship. Some people are wounded emotionally because of abuse. Whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, especially when the abuse is prolonged, they can become emotionally broken. A broken soul. Abusive relationships. Well, if you are in an abusive relationship, my counsel for you is leave. Save yourself further wounds. I can't guarantee you that person will change. How is he going to change when he is not susceptible to the one that will change him? You can bear anything, or by the time abuse has entered a relationship and continued, I'm the pastor telling you, for the sake of your, you call it mental health, but emotions. For the sake of your heart. Because there is a way heart can be wounded, eh? As I will show you much later. the damage of a consistently wounded heart, it takes time. And before that heart healed, it would have hurt other people. Because hurt people hurt people. So to save yourself for that drama, just walk away. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? When you reach 1 million, they say, do you want to walk away? My brother, walk away. Don't answer a question that will take you back to 50,000. You now walk away with 50,000. Your village people will not allow you to come back. Just remain in that studio. Don't come back here. Abuse or abusive relationship. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, you remember the story of Amnon, the son of David. The Bible says he fell in love with his half-sister, Tamar. And he manipulated David to send Tamar to him. And following the advice of his friend, he abused Tamar sexually. She was raped. He raped her, his own half-sister. And the Bible says, if you read from verse 14 down to verse 19, that after he had his way, he hated her more than the way he loved her even before that time. Give us verse 19 and verse 20 of that 2 Samuel chapter 13. Yes, 19. Then Tamar put ashes on her head. Imagine what it means as a king's daughter and a virgin to be defiled, to be raped by your own brother. Is there any kind of wound as heavy as that one? Tamar put ashes on her head. You only put ashes on your head those days when God says about to destroy the city because they are living in sin, or when somebody dies. But to show you that her emotional wounds were as deep as death, she put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. Verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? Hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. But she took it to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And that was the last time we heard of her. This thing wrecked her life forever. I'm sure she didn't even marry. The Bible says she remained in her brother's house, desolate. May God not allow any kind of emotional wound to keep you in an irreparable state. I'm praying for you. May God not allow any emotional trauma to keep you in an irreparable state. She was broken. She never found healing. She never healed from her emotional wounds. Number two, causes of emotional wounds. Harsh or grievous words. Harsh or grievous words. Harsh words. People who don't know how to talk. Once they talk like this, something in you just dies. Proverbs 15 verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. It says, but harsh words stirs up wrath. That's why we must be careful the way we talk. Even that talk, let me say the way it is in my heart. You may end up hurting another person. If you say the way it is, my brother, you will hurt somebody. Say the way it should be said. Don't say the way it is in your heart. Because the way it is in your heart is hurt already. So you are about to transfer that virus to somebody. And there's something you need to know about emotional healing. If others become hot because of your pain, it doesn't bring healing to you. No need to try it. I'm just telling you. If people become hot because of your pain, it still does not bring healing to you. In fact, if you feel good because somebody, maybe because they are responsible for what you are going through, and so they are hot, you have gotten to the end of the line. That feeling, if you ever feel good, because somebody is receiving the repercussion of what they did against you. If you ever feel good about it, completely good, that's the feeling of revenge. That is the potential for being a murderer. And you don't want to get to that point, trust me. You're not like yourself. It's as if you are poisoned inside. And it's sad that there are believers like that in church. That are poisoned like that. And so it becomes difficult for them to receive the word of God. Nobody can befriend them. Even them, they don't like them. They don't understand themselves. Have you heard people like that? Say, even me, I don't know my problem. That person has been poisoned. Never you feel good or wait for somebody to feel your pain emotionally before you get healing. It's a bad and a dark path you don't want to go through. Proverbs 12 verse 17 to 18. Proverbs 12, 17 to 18. It says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. So in as much as we don't want to hurt you, we cannot but speak the truth sometimes. Because he who speaks the truth speaks righteousness. Sometimes the truth will hurt you. But it's the kind of hurting that brings healing. When you pour spirit on an open wound, is it fun? What of iodine? What of secatrine powder? So you see, even what brings healing sometimes will have to hurt you small. So, no matter how emotionally hurt you are, don't run from the truth. Because he who speaks the truth speaks righteousness. Now verse 18. It says, there is he whose speakings are like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the righteous promotes health. Somebody will have to give us a laptop today, because this laptop is becoming an issue. This one is not God that says me. Somebody will have to give us a laptop before the end of today. I don't care if you call me a money pastor, that's your business. Are you not sitting in money now? That thing that you are sitting on is not money that got it. So when you finish struggling, give us the laptop. I will collect it. Even if you are happy or not, I will collect it. Because the earth is the Lord's and his fullness. The world and the laptop that dwell. Let me continue our sermon, please. Verse 18. There is he whose speakings are like the piercings. Have you seen people like that? When they talk, it's as if they use dagger. They don't know how to talk. You are very like that. What's wrong with you? What kind of person are you? So harsh words, grievous words, can cause emotional wounds. Number three, childhood trauma. Childhood trauma can cause emotional wounds. Childhood trauma, just like some of us here are still going through. A hidden wound is not a healed wound. I hope you know. A hidden wound is not a healed wound. There are people who are here who are still suffering from childhood trauma. May God give you healing today. Number four, offenses. Offenses. It's another cause of emotional wounds. Offenses. Offenses. You know what it means to be offended at somebody. And sometimes when you're offended at a person, the person may not know you are offended at them. That's even where it is more painful. And you just go around feeling like that person is wicked, the person did it deliberately, and the person doesn't know that they offended you. Matthew chapter 11 verse 2 to 6, such was John the Baptist. His ministry had ended after he had identified Jesus. If I were him, I should have known that now my ministry has gotten to the evening of it. Stay in isolation or in obscurity until your death. He went and corrected Pharaoh. Herod, why did you take somebody's wife? They threw him into prison. And he was expecting Jesus to gather all the multitude, come to the prison and take him out. And when Jesus didn't come, he sent his disciples, say, go and ask him, are you the one? Or that was a statement from somebody who was offended. Another reason why I think he was offended was because Jesus was his cousin, direct cousin. And Jesus told them, he says, and blessed is he that is not offended in me. John chapter 21 verse 17, still on offenses, Peter was also offended. You remember Jesus and Peter? Simon, lovest thou me more than this? You know I love you. Simon, feed my sheep. Simon, lovest me more than this? You know, Lord, I love you. Feed my lamb. Again, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said, which one be this one? Where is this question coming from? Did somebody gossip me about you? Gossip to you about me? The Bible says he was grieved because he said to him the third time. Offenses. Let me talk to my leaders and our pastors here. Be careful not to end up like Peter. I'm talking to us now. Look, you can sit down. I'm talking to us now. Because Peter was a leader in that church. Be careful not to end up as Peter, not to be grieved like him. The Bible says he was grieved. Be careful. Sometimes the system may not be going the way it should be going. Sometimes people may not do what they should do. Sometimes things may just be going from bad to worse. When you are a leader in a system, be careful not to end up like Peter. Peter was aggrieved at his master. Be careful never to end up like that. Number what now? Betrayals. Do you agree with me? It's another cause of emotional wounds. Betrayals. How many of you have been betrayed? Say the truth. Good. We are like our Lord Jesus. Even Jesus was betrayed. Betrayals. Let me show you one story of heavy betrayal in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15 to 22. Many of you may not know this story, but those of you who read the Bible again and again, you will know this. This was the story of Joash, the king. You remember King Joash was the youngest king in Judah. How did he become king? His grandmother, when his father died, his grandmother killed all the other heirs. Imagine you kill your grandsons. You, of course, and the grandmother Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel. You see where she inherited it from. Killed everybody and became king. So there was the priest of God in that land. His name was Jehoiada. Jehoiada escaped with Joash. If not, they would have killed Joash. He took Joash as an infant, escaped with him. And they hid him in the house of God, and Jehoiada's wife took care of Joash. Hid him and groomed him for 6 years. Spared his life. And at the 7th year, Jehoiada partnered with all the soldiers and everybody, ousted that woman, they killed the woman, and made Joash the king. If you are Joash, what do you think you would do for Jehoiada? He saved your life, preserved your throne, and gave it to you as a child. But yet, when Jehoiada died, when you read this story, Joash began to go into apostasy. Because the priest was no longer alive to keep him in check. You know, the priest, he learned the law from the priest. So for as long as the priest was alive, he was walking in the fear of God. When the priest died, he started doing all manner of nonsense. And then the Spirit of God came on the son of the priest one day, and he cried, "What kind of evil is in the land?" And all of that. You know what Joash did? Joash said, "Me then kill him." He gathered people, he said, "Stone him." And the Bible says, give us that last verse, verse 22. Verse 22. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada his father, and killed his son, the man that spared your life. And guess what? When the guy was dying, because of that pain, he was broken in his soul. He released a curse in his death. He said, "The Lord look on this and repay." Many years later, when you go to the New Testament, Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, "God will require the blood of all the prophets that you and your fathers have slain." He said, "From the blood of Abel to the blood of righteous Zechariah." Have you seen that scripture before? It was this guy he was talking about. That's an example of betrayal. Causes emotional wounds. Number 6, scandals or rumors. Scandals or rumors. Rumors about you flying up and down. Over Sabi, she too, they do too much. She just came yesterday and she's trying to win the affection of. That's why old members in church or in a group, you have to be careful, because sometimes now they peddle rumors. Say amen. I'm not speaking to anybody this night too, but sometimes it's old members that they are the ones that peddle rumors the most. By the time you become old and ineffective, some other persons who are just coming in are vibrant. You become jealous. Rumors, scandals. If a man has fallen into scandals again and again and again, they can become hot emotionally. Especially when those scandals were frame-ups. Those scandals and rumors are one of the causes of emotional wounds. Number 7, emotional blackmail wounds. Emotional blackmail wounds. Wound is in plural. Wounds. Now let me explain this emotional blackmail. This one, this is what I call false emotional injuries. So this is how it is. And this is peculiar with some kind of people. Please listen here. Those kind of people, they get to a point where maybe there is a little problem happening around. They begin to feel like the whole world is against them. And they try to blame other people for their predicament. Have you seen those kind of people before? They are involved in a crisis situation and they feel that nobody wants to listen to them. Nobody wants to hear their side of the story. And then begin to feel that everybody ganged up against me. And in that state of mind, they begin to feel wounded. Now, that wound was not real. They created it. Who told you that everybody ganged up against you? Am I talking to you at all? This teaching took me days because I had to examine people's life. Sometimes many of us create our own emotional wounds. Nobody is angry with you. You feel that everybody is angry with you. You feel that the whole world, and sometimes because of a past that they are coming from, you know, especially if that person has trust issues, especially if they have been involved in toxic relationships or they themselves, they don't trust themselves. So they begin to feel everybody's against me. The whole church is against me. Nobody, pastor didn't even stand on my behalf. Hey, this one, that one. And that's why I call it emotional blackmail wounds. You now want to, it's like revenge. And in the process of that, what is not real becomes real. You become wounded. Did you understand what I said? I've been there before. Can I continue? Or your heart is full? Number 8. Destructive criticism. Because there is constructive criticism. There's a way to criticize the person and the person will love you. Do you not want to know how? Proverbs chapter 9 verse 9 and 10. We'll come back. Number 8 is destructive criticism. He said, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Verse 10. Okay, that's verse 9. Verse 9. Give instruction. Give us verse 8. Verse 8. He said, do not correct a scoffer, lest he will hate you. Those people that do that emotional blackmail, if you try correcting them, that's what they are like this. They are like scoffers. They will hate you. He said, but if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Why? Because he's wise. He knows that what you are saying will help him grow. And you too, you are wise enough to know how to choose your words to rebuke. The Bible says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. If there is salt in the food, you will know because the food will be sweet. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. He said, but that which is good to the edification of the others, that it may bring grace to them. Grace to the hearers. There's a way to correct people. There's a way. However, that's constructive criticism, but we are dealing with destructive criticism. That can cause emotional wound. And I want you to note this. Young ministers should learn vital lessons from the life of Jimmy Swaggart. The great patriarch of faith that passed on to glory, Jimmy Swaggart, is one person that suffered from this kind of criticism. Jimmy Swaggart was a great man of God. Was so great in his time that his fame in America was almost equal to that of Billy Graham and the rest. Was a preacher of righteousness and truth. But then he began to criticize pastors who were either falling or who were involved in practices that he felt the Bible did not support. In fact, there was one pastor, he criticized the man, called his name, criticized the man. Guess what? He was criticizing the man of immorality. 1 year later, Jimmy Swaggart himself was caught with a prostitute, the preacher of righteousness. And then, you know, they withdrew his license. They had to suspend him. The thing hit him that hard, that period, hard. But somehow God helped him out of it. But some critics say that they didn't feel he took time to heal. Because it was not long after that scandal that he came back and was preaching. Guess what? He fell into the lap of another prostitute again. This time around, according to the story, he was defiant. He defended himself. He said everybody should go to hell, that God has forgiven him. Sometimes when you criticize too much, you will fall into what you are criticizing others of. The Bible says in Galatians 6 verse 1, it says, brethren, if any one of you is overtaken in a fault, if God is able to trust you with the weakness of someone, you should be confidential and humble. He said, you restore such a one in this, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You too would have fallen. The same thing he criticized that man of, he fell twice. And that's the reason why many Gen Z's don't know about him. Many of us that were born in the 2000s. Because that thing hit him very well. He tried, but he did not get back to. It was the glory of before that he lived with till he died. And by the way, that's why run away from immorality. I'll come for you, youth. I'll come for you. So criticism can bring emotional wounds. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, you can read that when you go home. Galatians 6 verse 1. Number 9, disappointments. Disappointments. These disappointments can be due to unsolved problems. When you have problems that are not solved, unattended needs. My school fees have not paid. I don't have food at home. By the time you have that cycle again and again, unattended needs can lead to disappointment. And disappointment can cause emotional wounds. Your soul becomes broken. Your heart becomes grieved. Losses too can lead to disappointment. Failures. Losses can be when you lose something. Failures. When you have failed and failed and failed, you become disappointed in yourself. Fallouts in relationships is also part of what leads to disappointment. When you fall out with this person, you fall out with this person, you fall out, you become disappointed at people. And it becomes difficult for you to trust people. That can cause emotional wounds. Number 10. Okay, scriptures for number 9. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Proverbs 18 verse 19. Can you give us those scriptures quickly? 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, I said disappointment. Another thing that can be a disappointment is when you are praying and God never answers. Hope deferred makes the heart what? Sick. That's emotional wound. Proverbs 18:12 says, a brother that is offended is harder to win that brother than to conquer a strong city. He's now disappointed in you. He no longer trusts you again. May God not allow us to get to that point. Number 10, demonic attacks. As another cause of emotional wounds, demonic attacks. Demonic attacks. That's right. Many people falling into depression and all of this, they are demons. Believe me, I've been into deliverance for years now. There are demons. Some of them are like snakes. Some of them are like birds. You will see a vulture sitting on a person's head with the eyes of the spirit, not these physical eyes. And that person can remain depressed for 6 months. You'll see a tortoise. Oh, that's how the spirit even looks like. I'm telling you. Is it not an anointed man that Jesus turned to and said, Satan has desired to have you, that he will sift you as we. Peter has healed the sick, cast out demons. But Jesus said, even you. Demonic attacks. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 tells us there are demons that are called seducing or deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits. They make you believe that everybody hates you. They make you believe that the other person that offended you is not remorse about it. And when you come to church or when you go to your working place, you look at the person. The spirit will now tell you, see the person, see the way the person is looking. And then you are looking at the person, he's just going to take tea. And greeting everybody, smiling, good morning. Was the person frown because of you? Now say, see the person. That you are being spoken to by demons. I know you spoke in tongues last night, but demons are talking to you now. With your tongues. They are talking to you. And one of the worst cases in deliverance, I can tell you, for being in deliverance for almost a decade, is when you meet somebody who is possessed by demons or oppressed by demons and they don't know they are oppressed. That's a worst case. It's better you show, give me a madman than to bring somebody who wore suit and doesn't know he's demonized. It's difficult to deal with that one. I can tell you. I can tell you for a fact. Demonic attacks. And these kind of demons, they can attack strategic people. Women leader. Music director. Mommy Gio. Youth president. No, it's strategic because this one is no longer you. It's a demon that is after you. Listen, the Bible calls Satan the accuser of brethren. Do you know that's a legal title that Satan is carrying? Satan can so lie that you will think the lie is the truth. Forget April Fool, Satan passed that one. Satan can make you hate God. That's why you were depressed last year. I shared my story with you. All of a sudden, Satan was bringing all kinds of thoughts that now I know they were wrong. They appeared true because they were factual. And of course, if it's factual, Satan can manipulate it. There's a difference between true and truth. Facts are true, but truth is a reality in the spirit. Yes, Satan will tell you that all these things you are suffering, don't you think God has forgotten? And it's true, you are suffering things. But Satan will not tell you the truth, that I know that my Redeemer liveth and he shall stand at last. He won't show you the other side of this suffering. I told you, me myself, I came here for pneumatic service. I was angry with God. I didn't pray. In fact, there was a woman they brought that day who had some witchcraft spell or something. She would go blind. Once the thing hit her, she would go blind. Completely blind. And the medical people were there. In fact, Pastor Henry came and told me they needed to take her to the hospital. With my anger, I went out and held the woman and I don't know what I said. I just shouted. The eyes opened. Yes, power day, but I was bitter. I hope you know if the trumpet had sound, I would have gone to hell like that. Is it not people that Jesus said that they say, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons. Jesus said, I know you not. And forget to, the anointing is not immunity for salvation. You are the one that will decide if you want to go to heaven. I hope I'm talking to you this night. Eyes open, but I was here depressed and angry with God. Somehow, maybe as this guy was playing and I found myself in the message. You people didn't know. I found myself. And when I finished everything, I went back to the house. I just looked at myself. I said, when did my heart become black like this? I laid down before God. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Me? And later I said, I love you. I cried that night too. But as those tears brought healing. That's why many of you like to hold yourself. You don't want to cry. Cry. Maybe it's the process to healing. Cry. John 11:35, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Cry. Stop trying to be strong. You are not really strong. Just cry. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. May God deliver you from any demonic attack that brings depression and emotional sickness your way. Any evil and demonic voice speaking to you in your dreams, speaking to you when you are cooking, when you are on the road walking. One of our sisters told me years ago,
she gave her life to Christ in our service like this. On the way back, a voice was telling her, jump out of the keke. You say it's God? Is that God? Any spirit speaking lies to you, in the name of Jesus, their reign over your life comes to an end. Yes. Let's finish now. Number 11, loneliness, or the feeling of being alone, is also another cause of emotional wound. Loneliness, or the feeling of being alone. That's why God said it is not good for the man to be. Mm-hmm. Loneliness is a shortcut to depression. Shortcut. Number 12, old wounds. Old wounds that have not healed. Old wounds. I said a hidden wound is not a healed wound. Old, you cover it. This covering thing, many of us are just proud. This covering, you're always covering, you want to be strong, but you are just destroying yours. That's self-destruction. What they call that, when a cell is destroying itself in science. When a cell is destroying itself, what they call it? No, when a cell is destroying, that's dividing itself. Cell destruction, there's a word they call it. Alright? Look for it and let me know. All this cover like blank. You are dying there. You need help. Be vulnerable for once. That's how you can be healed. Many of us always like to feel like, no. We have it in control. We have it put together, but you are dying of emotional sickness. May God bring you healing. Old wounds. Number 13. Losses and bereavement. Losses and bereavement. By the time your wife died, and you prayed 6 hours, after 6 hours she died. I hope you know that person when you say God is good in their front. Is out of respect, they will not pour you water. I know a dear pastor friend of mine. I had to go and sit down with him to comfort him. Lost 2 wives. This one born, die. Years later, I say, what is this? I went and said, I don't know what to tell you, sir. And I was shocked that he was still saying God is faithful. But there are people that cannot chase that one. Let's stop at 13. There are a lot of things out there, but let's stop at number 13. Damages or effects of emotional wounds. Damages or effects of emotional wounds. Proverbs 17 verse 22. Let me show you the dangers or the effects of emotional wounds. If you don't heal, the danger that it can pose to carry a broken soul and a wounded heart. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. In fact, if that person is a music minister, they will sing and nothing will move. Not even a fly will move. Because a broken spirit was dry. Everything will be dry. Music ministers, never you sing out of heart. No. It's not a must, you must go for a program. 1 week to the program, 2 days to the program, and if you don't trust yourself on the day of the, don't go. You'll be ministering from, and you know, the way we handle pain is differently. I hope you know when you are ministering spiritual substance. You are impacting on people what you are carrying. So many of them will go with depression. They will feel the anointing though, but the anointing came with a touch of depression. That's why when a music minister is into immorality, as he's ministering to the people ministering, they will fall and roll, but 2 weeks after they want to hold a woman's waist. Then they'll say, no, it's weakness. Not lie. You sat under a corrupted stream. Proverbs 18 verse 14. No program is more important than the state of your heart. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? Who? Neither God nor the devil. So they will leave it inside of you. Dangers or damages or effects of emotional wounds. When you keep emotional wounds without them being healed, this is what they will cause. Number one, distorted relationship with God. Distorted relationship with God. Your spiritual stream will become contaminated. Yes, because there's bitterness there. There's malice there. There's pain there. You are wounded. You are broken. Huh? Your spiritual stream will become misty and foggy. It will be difficult to hear God, and discernment will become gloomy. You can't even trust your dreams at that state again. I'm telling you, you can't even trust your visions. Everything, because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God is working in you through your heart, from your heart. Any wound in that heart, it will affect anything you do. In fact, try it. Be happy and cook egusi soup. And then be emotionally wounded. Go and cook the same soup. All the ingredients are the same, but something will be wrong with that soup. You better believe me. It will affect your relationship with God, will be distorted. At some point, if care is not taken, you will think God is conniving with the person that offended you. Have you been there before? No, this night is for healing. But to heal something, you have to expose it. There's somebody within these two rows, these two middle rows. There's somebody now, you are angry at God. Let me stop there. I just pray that God will win the war over your heart this night. Don't trust your spirituality when your heart is wounded. Don't. And if Satan wants to destroy you, he'll make sure you are a leader where people have to depend on your discernment. That's how you will lead them astray. May that not be so for you. Number two. Okay, scriptures for number one, Matthew 26, verse 37 to 38. You know, even Jesus, he affected into Jesus once. Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. And in that pain, in chapter 27 of Matthew, 45 to 46, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he even turned and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? In his pain. Number two, inability to trust again. What you call mistrust, distrust, inability to trust again, especially people. Becomes difficult for you to trust people when you carry emotional wounds that are not healed. Everybody is a suspect. You see those kind of people, they don't want to get involved in anything. They will not join any department. Why you not join music now? Join choir now. You shall be singing. Say, no, I don't want anybody to insult me. That's the effect of somebody who is broken and not healed. And you are not helping yourself when you are staying away from people. God did not design any man to be alone. God said it is not good. When did the devil come to Jesus? When he was alone. Inability to trust again. You can't trust anybody. You can't trust anything. And you live with fear if you can't trust. Perpetual fear. In fact, that's one of the points. Number three, isolation or solitary confinement. Damages or effects of emotional wounds. Isolation or solitary confinement. You want to be alone. This world is evil and wicked. Anybody I just meet now, they'll betray me. Just want to be there alone. And that's how you fall sick of malaria. And malaria wants to kill you, not because malaria can kill you, but because you are alone. Call somebody in the church, let them come and take care of you. No, just alone. I rebuke any spirit of isolation and solitary confinement. Number four, bitterness, malice, and fits of rage. Or outburst. That becomes your state. Bitterness. Do you know that bitter people don't even know they are bitter? To them, that's how the world is. Bitterness. Malice. Anything that will make you look at a person perpetually because of what they did to you is called malice. My brother, it's malice. It's malice. Don't spiritualize. It's malice, my brother. It's malice. I'm sorry you are hot. We came for your healing, but it's malice. Let's call it what it is first. You want to treat something, call it the name first. Malice, malice, malice. If I have a problem with hope, and by tomorrow, my heart towards him has not changed. By next year, my heart towards him has not changed. I'm keeping malice. I enter the next year with malice. Call it the way it is. Even if I preach and do like this, and people fall down, I am anointed with malice. Preachers can keep malice with one another. That's why the person will not talk. Once this preacher that he doesn't like stands up and says something and make a mistake, hey! He now has something legitimate to tie his malice to. May God forgive us. Me, I want to go to heaven. I want to carry a light heart. I don't want all this poison. Fits of rage. Somebody who was calm before, all of a sudden become aggressive. Any sporty, sister, you are sitting here, please enter the church. Apostle is preaching now. No, sir. It's not about that, sir. No. Something is wrong with our hearts. There's something deeper than that quarrel. And if that person is a bad person, she will take that thing up against you and you'll be like, what did I do to the person? No, sir, you didn't do anything. She's entertaining emotional wounds. She's wounded. If I'm you that they shout on like that, keep quiet and go and pray for her. Because nothing you say at that time will do anything. Should I continue or your heart is broken? You can't? You are the one that said I should preach the truth, Abby. Number 5. Hardened heartedness. That's the effect of emotional wound. You become hard hearted. Your heart becomes cold and unreceptive. Oh God. Cold. Nothing moves you again. There are some people, their own, they can't even hide it. Anything wrong with their heart, you see it on their face. Stony heart. That heart, you can't love people again. Your heart is hard. That kind of person, if you make them a leader, if they are a parent, may we never get to that point. Number 6, perpetual fear. You live in perpetual fear, of course, because you don't trust anybody again. You have trust issues. Number 7, physical affliction. Yes, so. If you are emotionally wounded, it can cause physical affliction. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. Dryeth the bones. Dryeth. So high blood pressure, hypertension is because of too much emotional wound. How do you explain somebody at 35, somebody at 29 with high blood pressure? I thought that's a sickness for old people. Some of you, if you have experienced it, that literally your chest begin to pain you. Is God speaking to somebody today? Number 8, suicidal instinct. Yes, so carry that emotional wound for a long time, you become suicidal. See, suicide does not start like, go and hang yourself. No. It starts from the feeling of being rejected from the world. You see that emotional blackmail thing I talk about? That's where it starts from. You, everywhere you go, you just feel like the whole world is against you. You feel like you are not welcome anywhere. You go somewhere, everybody's minding their business. They see, they are looking at me. They don't even like me. And only you are just in your hellfire. When you continue like that, very soon the voice will start telling you, what is it about this life? Now there they start from, before you know, hang yourself. If you think that it will start one day, just say, go and hang yourself. No. It starts from somewhere. Never you feel bad because you think others are feeling bad about you. Never you assume people's thoughts. You are not the one that created heart. Somebody can have a face like rainy season, but their heart is soft. August. Somebody say August. Suicidal instinct.
Number 9. Sudden death.
Yes, so there are people that have died in the midst of that. Oh God, my people. Oh God. Listen. When we walk out of here, it's not my prayer. Everybody will be preserved. But somebody can leave this place and go to bed this night and not wake up. You are not the owner of your soul. And you sleep. Now that you can't predict tomorrow, you want to carry emotions that are wounded for days. And you think that if you appear before God like that, that's if you leave, you appear before God. It's one demon who is an usher that will do you like this. Let's have it. Let's have it this way. What's going on there? Gen Z, you people, eh? Listen, live every day like the last. You can die in the devil have been trying to attack you for years. Witchcraft did not work. Sickness did not work. Hunger did not work. But emotional wound, now I can get her. Because when you are wounded emotionally, angels leave you. It's the truth. Matthew chapter 18, remember that parable Jesus gave about that servant who was owing his king. And the king said, sell him and everything he has and pay me my money. He begged the king. The king said, I release you. Then he went out and saw his own servant that was owing him cheekily money. Held the guy and said, by the truth, he said, you must pay me. Put him in prison. How will somebody in prison pay you? And the guy begged him, he refused. The king heard it and was angry. He said, deliver him to the torturers. If you read it in King James, he said, to the tormentors. In the Greek, the word used there for tormentors is the same word used to describe demons. Anytime you are emotionally wounded, angels leave. Demons will take over. Your bulletproof is exposed. They can kill you at that time. I'm telling you, see, this thing is not, I'm not manipulating. I'm giving you the truth. By the grace and by the election of God's grace, I'm a man of God. I walk with angels. I know their presence. Sometimes as little as one bad feeling in my heart, that thing just lifts. All of a sudden, I become empty. It's as if I become naked. I know their presence. Forgive and you see that it will come back. And when you have put hand in the devil's eye for a long time, he will not want to strike more than once. May the devil not win in your seasons of pain. In the name of Jesus. So how do you heal emotionally? Give me 5 minutes and we are done with tonight. Number one, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you, Lord, I offer you my life. For somebody, you need to remove life and put heart. Lord, I offer my heart. Turn to the Lord. When you are emotionally wounded, you are vulnerable. You are at risk of many things. You are sick. You are broken. As you are, you are poison. The way you are, you can hurt people. You need to enter a, what they call that word in the hospital where you rush people to. You need to enter there. Turn to the Lord. No, shut down every meeting. Shut down any date. Somebody that is alive that can go on date. When you are emotionally wounded, you are like a walking corpse. With all these things I've listed, that kind of person cannot see any good in life. Lock your door and turn to the Lord.
That's the only, he's the one that created the heart. He's the only one that knows how to fix the heart. I agree that medical doctors have learned heart transplant. But there are still operations in the heart that are very dicey. Only God understands the heart. He's the heart fixer. That's what Tribet called him. He's a heart fixer. God may not speak to you. I don't know how he does it. He can just breathe on you while you are there crying in his presence because of the pain that people have caused you. He can just breathe on you and that thing just is removed like cancer. Turn to the Lord in your season of pain. Turn to the Lord. Stay in his presence, in the place of prayer, in the word. Jeremiah 15, 16 say, I found your words and I ate them. And they were the joy and the rejoicing. Somebody who is wounded emotionally cannot experience joy. But when you stay on his word, stay on his word. One time in my life, I was going through all kinds of things from people. And then I read one time in John chapter 2, I think verse 24 or so, where the Bible says, and Jesus did not commit himself to people because he knew who human beings were. He knew who they were because he knew all men. I say, okay. So the reason why they behave like this is because they are men. That's how I was set free. Turn to the Lord. Some people turn to smoking. Some people turn to pornography. Some people turn to gluttony. They start eating. Then you see them, oh, you're the fat. Now, wow. You say, he's the glory of God. Now, lie. It's not the glory of God. It's an emotional wound. The person is hot. And he's looking for how to dissipate that pain, that anger. So they just eat. Some can starve their spiritual life for 1 week. No God. Meanwhile, it's the God that will heal you. Who you turn to in your days of pain determines whether you survive it or not. Turn to the Lord in fastings. Where you fast, you think well. Yes, your reasoning will go higher than your emotions. You'll now see that those things you were feeling were not right. Turn to the Lord. Pour out your heart to him. There's something you people don't know about God. I know that God knows your heart, but why does he tell us to confess? God knows you want to talk to somebody. So you go and meet him. Cry out to him. Father, this person did. I'm as I am now, Lord, if I have a knife, I will stab that person 6 times and add 7 so that it will be the 7th spirit of God. No, and that's the thing. Be honest with God. Say, Lord, if you allow me now, if I see that, I can stab that person. Tell God the way it is in your heart. Many of us go to, even in our private place of prayer, we are pretending before God. You know, the thing is in your heart, you will now skip it and be doing the normal kind of prayer. Father, I exalt your name, ancient of days, Lion of Judah, I am that I am. Hey, tell him that you are hot. Tell him that you are hot. Tell him that you are angry. In fact, that's why you didn't eat. Tell him everything there. Father, this girl stole my boyfriend. Even though he had not proposed to you, but you were liking him. And then came the girl and his attention diverted. Call it out the way, you know, let's learn to be truthful. Let's learn to be truthful with ourselves. Call it out the way it is before God. Many, when I go before God, if you hear when I'm talking with God, please reduce that thing. If you hear when I'm talking with God, some of you will run. I can go before God and say, God, the way I was hugging that lady that day, I'm suspecting there's lust in my heart. That's why I shut down these 2 days. Can we deal with this thing here? So that you'll not raise. You understand what I'm telling you? You go somewhere, somebody gives you money in dollars and God say, don't collect. And I'm angry. When I leave that place, I say, God, you know, I know I'm not happy. I need money. Be honest with God. Are you hearing me? Be honest. Tell God that, God, right now, I'm so angry that if I see, I can slap her back and front. So can you do something about my heart? Be honest with God. Why are you lying to? The God that knows your heart, he knows your thoughts before you think. Be honest with God. Turn to him. In fact, if I end with number one, it's the greatest therapy for emotional healing. Turn to the Lord. He's a heart fixer. Number two, repent. Yes, so my brother, repent. Because some of those causes of emotional wounds are sins. Some of them are sins. Repent. In Job 42 verse 1 to 10, you know Job repented. When you read verse 5 and 6, Job repented. And because of that, God restored him. So repent. Repent of the bitterness, of the pain, of the anger, of the wound. Repent. Repent is not necessarily because you have sinned. Repent means I don't want to continue on this path, so I make a U-turn. Number 3. Forgive others. One of the shortest routes to emotional healing. Forgive everybody that's offended you. You start healing immediately. If you truly forgive people, healing is automatic. I'm telling you, it's like you breathe. By experience, I'm telling you, once you forgive people, you begin to heal immediately. It's an involuntary exercise. But if you are still hurting, you have not forgiven. Have you seen those people? I've forgiven. It's just that they have not forgiven, sir. They have not forgiven. Beware of unforgiveness. I told you, unforgiveness invites demons. Matthew 18:34-35. But forgiveness is the pathway to genuine emotional healing. Job 42:10. What did he say? And Job 42:10. Quickly, please. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Not when he claimed that he was right. And the Lord restored him. You are not forgiving them for them. You are forgiving them for you. When somebody hurts you and you don't forgive them, you are being yoked with them. Please, Bishop, come. Let me show you something. You know yoke? That thing that they put on two animals and they begin to walk together. The moment somebody hurts you and you have them at heart, you have become, just hold me. Just hold me like that. You have become yoked with them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, they offended you, and because of that, God is not happy with them. But because you have refused to forgive, you have yoked yourself with them. So you are considered before heaven to be in the same category. Oh, please believe your pastor tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 18:35, he says, so shall my heavenly Father not forgive you of your trespasses if you do not forgive his or her brother. So as God is planning repercussion and judgment for this one, without God cannot help it, but you are already in the same category. So the moment you forgive, you break off from that yoke and set yourself free. Allow God to judge them. And sometimes, if you are considering, if God has helped, those of you that God has helped your heart to mature in love, you may have a lot against that person, but when you realize that this person was created by God for a divine purpose, and if I wish that they should be punished because of what they did to me, it means that they will be punished, but God will lose, because the purpose he was to fulfill, he will not fulfill it again. So I will have to look beyond, because pain makes you selfish. If somebody has a wound, touch it, how will he do? Pain makes you selfish. But when you look beyond yourself to forgive the person, even in your pain, you are saying, God, your purposes are more important than my pain. Rather than for me and God to lose, at least I lost so that heaven gained. And God restored Job when he prayed. If they don't explain it to you like this, you will not know. You think God is a fool when he tells you forgive people? He didn't see that they hurt you? God said, vengeance is mine. If God said, vengeance is mine, leave it for him. Don't collect it. Thank you, sir. I told you the story of somebody who betrayed me years ago. And it didn't end there. He went around spreading false rumors against me. I don't know what he did to me. I don't know what I did to him. Absolutely today, I don't know what I did. Or was it because God was using me? Is it my fault that God used me? All of us, they pray together, but God elects grace differently. I preach in that pain for more than 1 year. And then the Holy Ghost told me, there's bitterness. When I forgave and let him free, 3 years later, he came back to apologize. But when he came back, the pain had gone. It was love in his heart. In fact, before he came, I'd been praying for him. Number four, a life of praise and worship. Yes, so one of the ways to experience emotional healing, a life of praise and worship. If you can't sing because your heart is broken, put it there. Let it be playing. Lord, you are more precious than silver. The thing with worship is that the more you worship God, the more you lose consciousness of yourself and you become conscious of Him. And when God comes into a place, that pain that is in your heart will check out, because worship has absorbed His presence. That's the reason why the last thing you want to do when you are in emotional pain is worship. Worship, if you can't sing, put it there, let it be playing, be crying. Look for any of my message when I sing, put it there. As it's playing, the presence of God is filling you up with love. You know it can be painful. Love is welling up in your heart. And it's as if God is saying, just forgive the person. But there's a part of it, I say, did you see what this person did? And then you start crying as though your rights were trampled on. So a life of praise and worship is important. Amen. And then finally, seek professional and spiritual help. Seek professional and spiritual help. Talk to someone. If you try all those things and nothing work, talk to somebody. Look for your pastor. Look for your HOD. Look for your spiritual friend. Not that carnal friend like the friend of Amnon. That will say, "Come, let's go and bet. Let's go and drink." Any toxic demonic relationship around your life, may thunder remove them from your life. Let's go to command. Let's go to Nafmes. You are dying and you are going to Nafmes to die them all. Are you blessed tonight? Rise on your feet. If you are blessed, shout a loud amen. Please lift your hands and give God praise for what you have heard. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a land could rescue the souls of, you rescue the souls of. Counselor, Comforter, King, Spirit we long to embrace, we long to. You offer hope when our hearts, hopelessly.
we are born. You give the healing and grace. That's always hunger for.
Listen. I didn't just preach to you theory. I've been a pastor for years. I know what it means to be hurt emotionally. I know what it means to be wounded by somebody more than 3 times. And you have to forgive that person and still keep them around. The Bible says we do not have a high priest that was not touched by our feelings. Sometimes the reason why it's difficult for us to let go is because there's a funny feeling in our heart that makes us think Jesus does not know what you are going through. No, sir. He was betrayed. He was denied. Painfully, the person who denied him 3 times with swearing, he had to hand over the church to that person. How would you feel? You think if he was left to Jesus, he would meet Peter and say, feed my sheep? That's why he asked him that question 3 times. Maybe after he ascended, or he resurrected, God now told him that that Peter is the one that will be one of the leaders of the church. God, this one that swore that he didn't know me. So that miracle in John 21 was about Peter. That's why Jesus came back. John chapter 20 would have ended that book. But that 21, Jesus had to come back and look at the same person that denied him 3 times. If God puts the people that have offended you and hurt you emotionally before you, what will be your heart reaction? No, don't give me religious, I'm talking about your heart, that place that nobody sees. But if you want to carry a light heart, keep playing, sir. If you want to carry a light heart, if you treasure your relationship with God beyond any other thing, then you will take God's route. The song we just sang said, he gives the healing. But you must present that heart to him. When you are treating an infected wound, it becomes more painful than the injury, than the accident. But that's the pain that brings healing. I wonder what would have happened to me if God did not help me to forgive people and to heal. You think all of you will be here? You think my messages will make sense to you? Look at the lives that have been transformed, not just here, across the globe. When I go back this night now, I know I will get emails from different countries. I want God to use us for his glory. But God cannot use you broken. God cannot use you in pain. He wants you to heal. He wants you to heal. Can you talk to God in 2 minutes? I don't know. Just surrender your heart to him and say, Lord, heal me. Jeremiah said, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Remember everything you have gone through. Remember the hurt, the pain, the criticism, the anger because of the rumors against you. Remember the old wounds in your heart that were exposed today by this teaching. Present all of it to God and talk to him. Just do that for 2 minutes. Please keep praying. Okay. If it's not too strong, help him. Talk to God, everybody. This moment is a moment for healing. Talk to God. Some of you need to forgive. Some of you need to release. Let go. As you are letting go, there's pain, but that's what is bringing your healing. God wants to use you, but he can't use you broken. The Bible says a broken spirit who can bear? Even God who created it cannot bear it. He wants you whole. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You give the healing and pray. Hearts always are. No, allow me to sing. You, it's a personal moment. It's you and God. God is operating people's hearts. Some of you may feel like crying.
Let that tears bring you healing and consolation. And allow the love of God to flood your heart. For our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Some of you need to heal from your being offended at God. When I lost my mother, where was God? When I lost my father, my sibling, where was God? Heal. Talk to him for one more minute. Some of you need to heal from a broken relationship. Now you don't trust men again. Every man is a suspect. Every man must pay for what you went through. No, man. There's a better way. You can heal. You can heal. You don't have to end up like that. You can heal. Joseph told his brothers, he said, what you meant for evil, God turned it for good. There's another side to what you went through.
Oh, hearts always hungerful. Oh, hearts always hungerful.
Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise. Listen, there are three spiritual forces that can help you heal emotionally and stay healed. Number one, love. Number two, joy. Number three, peace. It's like when you are dressing a wound, everything you use has what it's doing there. One may be for healing the tissue. The other one may be to take away bacteria. Love is what brings the healing. Romans 5 verse 5, for the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Joy is what gives you strength while you are going through the healing process. Peace guards your heart and keeps you immune against more emotional damage. It says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard. The word guard is garrison, defend. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Lift your two hands. May the love of God bring healing to your heart. May you experience a baptism of the love of God this season. May you be overwhelmed with the love of God in this season. And out of that love, be able and easy to forgive people. Be able to let go of every offense in your heart. May that love bring healing to your emotions. May the joy of the Lord become your strength this season. And may the peace of God protect your heart from further trouble. Protect your heart from further evil. In the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that you will live in peace in this season. And may the combination of these three forces garrison your heart from bitterness. Protect your heart from pain. Protect your heart from hurt. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Are you blessed tonight? Well, give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Let me make an altar call quickly. I will not assume that everybody here is saved. Please be upstanding continually just for two more minutes and no movement anywhere. I won't assume that everybody is saved. There are some of you who need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior.
Your heart has become hardened, resistant to Jesus. You come to church, oh, you even know how to say everything they say in church, but in your deepest of heart, you know there is no relationship, no connection between you and God. I want to give you that opportunity. While there'll be many others who maybe because of emotional pain and bleeding consistently, it has even affected your relationship with God. And because of this message tonight, you want to rededicate your life. For you, you are not a sinner, but you just realize what you have gone through has broken your relationship with God. It is only by the mercy of God you are surviving. In fact, if it were not that God loved you, you will not be standing here. I'm going to count to 10. Don't wait to be the last. Don't wait for who is going out. Swallow your pride. It's between you and God. Maybe your healing is what will happen when you receive Jesus afresh. I count to 10. Take your Bibles and run to the front quickly. 1, 2, from the front to the back, everywhere. 3, please run to Jesus quickly. Don't forget about who is looking at you. Run to him. He wants to see you saved, healed, and delivered. 4, can we give them a bigger applause? Because the devil is winning the war over souls. 5, 6, 7, please keep clapping. 8, 9, I'm still waiting for you. Keep coming. Just in case you think you are not the one I'm talking to, you are the one actually. Please come, my brother. Come, my sister. This is what will seal your healing. That you rededicate your life again. That you receive him again as your Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stretch your hands towards this one and help me talk to the Lord about them. Ask the Lord to save them, to heal them, refine them, remold them, help their heart. I'm still waiting though for somebody. I'm still waiting for somebody who needs to join them. In fact, the Spirit of God is telling me there's a gentleman who needs to come out here now. It's not just because they are girls. I have a strong impression in my spirit. I pray that God would prevail over you tonight, that you will not prevail over God like Jacob. I'm giving you that opportunity now to join them before I begin to pray with them. Please stretch your hands towards these ones and pray for them. Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest. Repeat these words after me. Whether it's your first time or you are rededicating your life, it's a new day for you. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you today. I give you my heart. And I receive your eternal life. I believe that you died for my salvation. And I confess you as my Lord. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Please keep those right hand lifted. Father, I declare by the authority of your word that their sins are forgiven. Today marks a new chapter in their life and existence. We proclaim their victory over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. In the name of Jesus, according to your word in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, give them a new heart, a heart that is of flesh and not a heart of stone. And put your spirit in them. Seal them with your Holy Spirit. And help them to walk in your love. And to grow each and every day knowing you. For the rest of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you for this noble decision. Please, I'd like you to look at me. There are two things I want you to do. First of all, I'd like you to see you here again next week. You can come so that you keep hearing this word that will bring a change and transformation in your life and grow your relationship with God. Number two, if you turn towards your left now, there's a counselor waving his hand. Please turn to your left and walk straight to that person. Our counselors will attend to you quickly. Let's clap for them as they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.